This is Banging on the Drum.
It is another beautiful day in West Central Wisconsin, and welcome to episode 154 of Banging on the Drum. Do us a favor here. Go out there, like, subscribe, download, share with your friends, and we would greatly appreciate it. But as always, I'm your host, P-Dog, joined alongside our other host, M-Dog. And M-Dog, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, I think. I think everything's going fairly smooth. Felt like over the last like month or so, I've been in a little bit of a shitstorm, but shitstorm's cleared, I hope.
Yeah. The rough waves have passed. You're in the calm sea now.
Yeah. I think, well, we'll see, you know, like everything could go to shit here shortly.
Oh yeah. There's a storm right around the corner. If it seems good to be true, Mike, it is too good to be true.
Oh, there's always something coming. That's all right, though. It'd be boring if nothing ever happened. If I just had to sit in my house and do nothing.
Need the highs to go with those lows, but I want to get out there, apologize to our eight loyal listeners that we haven't done a podcast since April 16th was the last one. So it must have recorded the 15th. Dropped the 16th, and now that I think of it, it didn't even come out as a YouTube video because my clip champ thing messed up and I did not feel like redoing all my work. So that makes sense.
I mean, that sounds about like the way it had gone for me. April was not great for the old Doherty family. I'll jump right into my underbiz.
Let us know what was going on.
So it must have been, I'm not going to go look at dates or nothing, but my oldest two kids got sick, strep throat, the last time we recorded, and then the following week, myself and my youngest got sick. And inside of the last month, my dryer makes a lot of noise when I turn it on, squeals real bad. That's a fixable thing, but it's something that has to be done, right? My washer broke at some point in the last month. My car broke down twice. That might have been over March and April, but either way, not ideal. My oven took a shit, had to buy a new oven inside the last month. And then just like maybe like early this week, my fridge just, the power went out to it. For no reason at all. Man, hasn't done it again.
Sounds like you could write a country song about this.
I know, right?
Last month. Or you need a little Travis Tritt in your life. It's a great day to be alive. Reminds me of a country song where they would spin it. And you'd say like, oh, my dryer took a shit. My washer broke. But I still got my wife and kids.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. The wife hasn't chosen to leave me just yet. You know, that's might be around the corner, but not as of now. So that's good. Got the positive. Kids still think I'm mildly enjoyable. So I don't have like a huge over, though. And I can't think of anything that like makes my day, you know, that happened over the last couple weeks, so, which is sad. There's, and I know there was something, and I'll think of it probably like I'll be laying down to sleep and be like, oh yeah, that was pretty fucking good. I should have mentioned that, and nothing. I might have found a $2,000 dime walking to a softball game.
Damn. How did you recognize it was different?
So the wife picked it up. So it's not really my story. She did grab it, and it's a 1943 dime, I think 1943, something like that. And it has like a weird, the mint thing on it is like it almost looks like a Mason symbol. And so those can be up to a couple grand, but they could also be like $100.
Ooh, I'm seeing one that's $4,051.
Yeah, see, right? So like, and then I found $10 that same day.
Lucky you.
Yeah. And so like those are my overs for the week. But yeah, that dime was a pretty cool find.
So pricing the 1943 Mercury dime, is it that?
Yep. And so like some of them don't have a mint stamp, and mine's got a weird mint stamp. It doesn't have like Denver or Pennsylvania or whatever that I don't know where they were at the time.
Yeah.
It's got a weird one.
So it's D and S. So I assume that
it's D not is either Denver. Of those.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got like a masonry symbol on it, which probably makes it $50 million. So I'm rich as beyond my wildest dreams now.
It is kind of a cool dime, though. Like, I wonder why we went away from that.
So Eisenhower is on the dime now, and he was after that point. Eisenhower was the president in the 50s, late 40s, maybe.
Who is the Mercury one, though? It looks like Percy. The
Jackson? I don't know.
I think it might be Percy Jackson. Got wings on its helmet. Everything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's Percy Jackson. That's who it is. I mean, obviously. Okay. No, I have no idea. But
so you are going to be rich by the next time we record a podcast once you guys get that price out.
I mean, I probably not. I mean, More than likely, my kid will go spend it on candy or something like that. He'll be sitting on the counter. He'll scoop that baby. Ooh, I got some money to spend at the softball game now.
You get a Laffy Taffy at the old stand. No, that is interesting. And it brings me back to selling the... people have been listening for a while. I had that Nazi gear that I was selling.
Yeah.
And I just heard on other podcasts recently that they would think it's a huge red flag if you had Nazi memorabilia in your house. And I still do.
Yeah.
Like in the closet right over there, I got a World War One helmet wouldn't quite be Nazi, but it's German. A
German World War. Yeah. Okay. So like, and this is from your wife's dad. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Got one more question around that. Have you seen this? I'm sure you've seen the It's Always Sunny episode about the Nazi. This brother and sister's dad is a Nazi.
Oh, Frank?
No, Grandpa, maybe.
Oh,
like episode like three.
Yeah, I think so.
So I like, recently started. Yeah, they go to see him die, and then they burn all his shit. And so, because they didn't want to sell it to anybody, or like people wouldn't buy it, is probably more what happened with that crew. But
that is not true, because people would buy the shit out of that. And like I was talking about,
I think they tried to sell it to a museum because then it would be not like if that wouldn't make them feel bad because they wouldn't sell it to Nazis.
Yeah.
And then the museum said that they wouldn't take it. So
I'm starting to think more and more that I sold that helmet to like somebody that would either be a Nazi. Like, what do you call somebody though that like doesn't do anything a Nazi, like just believes what Nazis believe?
Nazi. Yeah. So I think that's actually the core system of being a Nazi is the belief system.
Okay. So yeah, I probably sold it to an actual Nazi. I don't know. I didn't get to see like much about him because I remember when I was trying to sell it, like I was having to like deal with people a little bit too much. And when I was dealing with people a little bit too much, I would look them up on Facebook and stuff. And then there was people where I was like, I don't know. Like there, I remember this one.
You're a piece of shit. I don't want to do this. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like, would wear this stuff, and I was like, oof, I don't know if I can get it to that guy. Right? Yeah,
you get that.
And but then some guy just swooped in and he offered me like 200 or 300 more bucks than everybody else, and I didn't even have to like really talk to him. He's just like, I'll give you this much for it. And the last thing I did was I told the other people how much I would get for it. So I guess maybe I would have sold it to them if they came way over the top, but yeah, they didn't come over the top on them. I forgot where I was going with this, but
yeah, I think I
said, oh yeah, No. But just like how big of a red flag it was. And then I was thinking too, like, if something ever happened to me and like people found out, or like, even if you were like I think I would have to be like way more famous than anything. But like, if a famous person was found themselves in the situation that I was in, and then they found a Nazi sword in their like closet, I just feel like it would be a bad look. But
yeah,
maybe I should get out and sell that shit.
You have a Nazi sword though, huh?
Yeah. And it's been so long now, I can't even remember like what was the price tags on it, but I just got like sick of dealing with the people I was dealing with.
I think a sword is like something that is like a relatively cool piece of memorabilia, even if it is from evil people.
Yeah. And I think there's sides, I guess, like that's. So what do you think of being in war and then killing somebody and then stealing something off of them and keeping it? Like, do you think that's messed up?
So
I feel like it's pretty messed up than like. Like, I feel like,
yeah, I think that the rules we abide by when we are not at war, like, aren't necessarily realistic in war. I guess stealing things from people is still not good. But like, are you giving it back to like your enemy? What are you doing with that? Just leaving it in there? Like, I don't know. So I think there were probably a lot of soldiers that got in big trouble in Iraq in like 2006, when we like overran them and they started like putting shit in their bags and like that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I don't know. Like, if I see it to be like, I think it's really a gray area. I think the biggest issue with war most of the time is not stealing of things, right? So if you're stealing from citizens, I think that's one thing. Stealing from other soldiers, different thing, right? Like the people that you kill, if you steal from them, I think that's kind of different. I think the rape and pillaging, the raping part is...
That part's all right.
And pillaging. Yeah. The raping and pillaging, the raping is the bad part, I think, right? So... Just don't rape people after you like kill their husbands and shit like that. That's not cool.
Yeah, that'd be brutal, man.
That's what I know guys who fucking did that. I know them. Let's talk to them. Fucking weirdos.
Oh, at Leavenworth.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like walking. I just don't get it. Right. Like.
Yeah, that's an aggressive move. That's like, that's like stealing someone's soul to like killing them and then shitting on their face.
Yeah.
But worse than that.
I guess I don't know that like they killed their husband and then, but I know that they were raping people during wartime. Right. So.
Yeah. That's insane. Yeah. I don't know how to transition off this, but I am going to find a way.
All right.
Let's go into it. All right. So I'm going to go into my unders now. So hard right term from raping and pillaging people in war. But so I got a really bad sunburn on my foot. And you know me, Mike. Like, I'm not a big sunburn person.
Maybe that's why you got sunburn as bad as you did.
So it's funny to me, too, because I was more conscious about it. Like, usually I'll go out one day and then I'll get like enough sun where like I get a decent burn, but like my burns don't hurt that bad. Like, maybe it's a little uncomfortable taking a shower like the next day, and then I'll be good to go. But this time we were on a beach and it was kind of like almost cold out, so like I wasn't even really like taking my shirt off or anything like that. Like, I did for like a minute, but I was like, I live in Florida. Like, I'm going to have another opportunity. Like, the beach was amazing, but I was like, I'll just enjoy the view, cover up with my towel. So I had like my towel over my legs sitting in a chair. And then I had I think I had a long sleeve shirt on and was just sitting out there, and we spent a good amount of time on the beach, but I didn't even think about my feet at all. And my foot was disgusting. Like, I'll have to send you a picture. It's pretty gross. Like, it was a picture like I took, and I would ask people, like, you kind of got to show it off a little bit, but I was like, how grossed out are you by stuff? And like, that's how gross my foot was. It got so burnt that it had blisters. Like, I've never had that happen before, but I
like
do
large blisters.
Oh, it was huge, dude. I mean,
okay. So I have recently, have you ever like on your shoulders, like just like brushed it off, and it's like almost like you instantly started sweating because you brushed on your so I've had like tiny little blisters on my shoulders that pop pretty easily.
Yeah, this wasn't like this was like big and almost had like a pulse to it. The shoulder thing you're saying, like, I can't recall that, but I definitely have like marks on my shoulder that looks like that probably was what was going on. But yeah, this one on my foot was like ginormous. Like, I've been on order, so I've been having to wear my uniform and stuff, and it was like hard to get my— that was another thing, my feet were swollen too. Like, it— I have never had that happen. So right. So correlating with that under is I've been trying to train to get 100 on my PT test, and having my feet like that, like, I wanted to run and go do stuff, but it just threw a big wrench in that. I probably even started running on it too early, because I only missed one day of the training, but
take your PT test yet?
I haven't. And
you got it. You're going to get 100 anyway.
We'll see. I think the run's going to be tough. I think I might do the pushups. I think this might be the first time I get 100 on the pushups. Nice. And that's the only thing I haven't ever got 100 on. But the run, and it's not only the sunburn. For some reason, it feels like the top of my foot is a little bit broken too. So after my PT test, I might go get that checked out and see. Because I've known of people.
You could maybe get out of your PT test.
But I don't want to do that. That's like one of the goals I've always said is, like, I never want to be on a profile, which I don't think there's anything wrong with being on a profile. Like, especially like if it's something like out of your control, like you get in a car accident or some shit like that. And like, and I don't even look at that like any different. I'm like, man, if somebody else told me that, like, I'd be like, yeah, you probably shouldn't take your PT test right now.
Right.
But yeah, I'm going to fight through it. I think I'll get over a 95 on it. But yeah, I was hoping this would be the year I could get 100 on it, but it is not feeling like that right now. Cause I appreciate that. But even when I was feeling kind of good, I was having a tough time keeping anywhere near the pace that I need to. Like, it felt like a sprint instead of like a fast run.
Maybe you should do some coke right before it or something.
Well, I usually take some pre-workout, so maybe if I get the Jack 3D, the old formula. Yeah, that might do it for me. But then
just buy whatever the newest one is, because those ones are always super sketchy until they get caught doing bad shit.
There we go. That's what I'll do. I'll get the deer antler one. They grind up some deer antlers and put it in there. But yeah, but to flip to my over, which kind of correlates with the under. And so where I got this sunburnt was a town called Amelia Island. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it is like a, what do they call that? I was going to say
tourist trap,
uncut gem. It is kind of a tourist trap, but it's still pretty low key, like where, like the Florida Keys, like that's a tourist trap. Like everybody knows about the Florida Keys. Like,
yeah,
everybody knows. Lots of people know about like Destin. Lots of people know about Daytona and even St. Augustine, I would say. So this one is like right in between Florida and Georgia. It's probably where Florida Georgia line comes from, but
yeah,
it's in Florida. It's in Florida, but I'm pretty sure if you go to one city north, you'd be in Georgia.
And this is on the Gulf side?
No, this is on the Atlantic side.
Okay. So over kind of by Savannah then in that.
Yeah. So it's in between Jacksonville and Savannah. And it was just a super, super cool little town. Like it was had a very small town vibe. I think we must have hit it when it was like perfect to hit it. Like it was just because it still gets like a little cold up there, but it was just warm enough. Like I said, the beach wasn't always like great weather there, but it was like, it was nice. And like, it wasn't super busy, but I assume it gets super busy in the summer. But yeah, great beach, great like restaurants in downtown area, like quaint little town. Yeah, my only gripe with the town is, or the island is, I guess it's an island town, is you could not have alcohol on the beach, which was insane to me. I had a guy walk up to me.
That's why people think it sucks.
That's probably true. Well, we did find out the trick to doing it is you just need to have a can koozie, and then they can't mess with you for some reason.
Couldn't you just like have like a bottle and like, or like your Yeti or whatever, and just dump that shit right in there?
Yeah, and that's what I seen. Like, after I got told that, I looked around and I was like, I can't be the only one that has an open beer on this beach. And I looked around and everybody had like cups and shit. So I was like, oh, okay, that's what's going on here. But even the guy who made me dump it out asked me if I had a can koozie beforehand.
And if you got a can koozie, I can just let you go, man. Was it?
No, it was just like a beach patrol guy. He wasn't a lifeguard.
Was he going to let you chug it?
No, he told me to dump it out. I thought he was going to say, like, you can finish that one, but then don't open your cooler anymore. But he was like, made me dump it out and then told me not to open up my cooler anymore. So that was interesting. But other than that, amazing town. Highly recommend making it there once in your life. It's a good time. Good time.
All right. Good deal. All right. We'll roll over to just the tip. I'm going to give you just the tip. And I think I'm going to change my just the tip. So you never have to start work right away. And this is because Pat threw something on there. Work expands the amount of time that you have to do it. And therefore, if you wait longer, your work will only last as long as the amount of time that you have to do it.
Yeah. So Mike's going to go behind the fourth wall here. So Mike's just a tip was, if it can be done in a minute, do it now. And then I added on to it. If you wait until the last minute to do something, it usually only takes you about a minute to do that.
Yeah, so. And I do pretty much live by work takes the amount of time that you have to do it, right? So if they give you a deadline of you have a week to finish this project and you start the project right away, it will take a week to finish that project. Now, if you start that project with 1 hour to go, that project will take 1 hour. I don't know. I'm not going to say that those are going to be the same quality of project. I'm just saying you'll get it done in that hour if you have to.
I like it. I like that. All right, you ready for the observation of the week?
Yep.
The worst social media trend of all time, in my opinion, has started. I should have found some more trends, but I'm going to give you this trend, and then maybe we can brainstorm some bad trends. I don't know if on your Twitter lately, you've been seeing a lot of this.
Yep.
So they'll say some sort of statement like, my husband is look between the F and the H on your keyboard. And then like you have to, I don't know if you, but like my keyboard's not pulled up that readily. So if I really want to figure out what it is.
And I don't have it memorized. I can tell you that.
Hell no. What do you think between the F and the H?
Oh, so I looked at my computer when I read your thing. So I don't get them though. Like none of them make any sense to me. So I've seen a lot of like between the U and the O or something. And then it's, I don't know, I guess it's the I or the Y. And I feel like it had multiple letters in it a couple times. I did not understand any of the ones that I read. I did not try to pull up them in the moment though either. So.
Yeah, no, but that one is awful. I don't know. That one definitely needs to go. But I'm trying to think of like other ones because I'm trying to think of one that's like that subtle and stupid. Like definitely planking was interesting, but I think like that even to a point was like, I don't get it, but like, I can kind of see the humor in it sometimes. The Harlem Shake. I don't even know if these would be like the same level of stuff, but I'm trying to think of something else that was like that dumb that like irrationally
everybody was doing
pisses me off. And I'm tough to piss off, so I won't even say like this pisses me off, but it just annoys me. Like I just want to know what it is.
I just and don't that's, get it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's I'm that, just old.
That, yeah, no, we are getting old because it's my two least favorite things are reels and that. Like, reels kill me because, say, if you're, I know you're not a big Facebook guy.
No, I find Instagram myself, reels, I'm on Instagram all the time.
Okay, I don't know if they're the same, and maybe this isn't a reel, but like, there'll be like a portion of my Facebook that I get to. And it's just like shows like the start of the video and like mine will be like my algorithms, like golf or something. I don't know why. Like, guess I watch a decent amount of golf videos, but then I'll click on it and it'll just be like the most average thing that I've ever fucking seen. Like very rarely is it like something incredible or like something even funny, like worth wasting 15 seconds of my life to click on. But it's the baiting. I think it's getting baited all the time is what kills me. Because even like looking between the F and the H, I'm like,
now I gotta go fucking look. God damn it, right?
And then I look at it and then it's like, oh, it's a G. It's like, oh, so your husband's a G. Like,
okay.
Yeah, you just wasted my precious time. But I wonder if there's something to, because I bet you a lot of people who see that have to click like they're gonna comment, so they have to like click on it more, which there's probably like some sort of benefit for getting people to click on your shit.
So speaking of reels, I'll tell you the one that I fucking, it's one drives me fucking crazy, and I don't see it as much anymore. I saw it probably 5 months ago or whatever, but it's a like, so for us, we would do one that's like, we're podcasters. We do whatever. Like, we're podcasters. And there's like six things that they say. I cannot fucking stay in those fucking things.
Hey, that's how
crazy.
That's how Aaron Jones shouted us out that one time.
Yeah, but I still fucking hate him. I fucking hate them all. Like, nobody gives a fuck that you're a chicken raiser or whatever.
Of course I'm a chicken raiser. So I know how to snap a chicken's neck like a twig.
I hate that shit. Driving me crazy.
All right. Those are some good trends. All right, here. Let's get into the Packers draft. So overall, Mike, give us the picks. Or you want me to give
so I'm picks? I'm just
I got them
all. If you got them all, just run through who it was.
All right. So first pick, Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle, Arizona. Second pick, Edgerrin. You corrected me earlier.
Edgerrin James. Edgerrin James. Like Edgerrin Cooper. Edgerrin James. Same dude. Same name.
Edrin Cooper, linebacker, Texas A&M. Another second round pick, we had Javon Bullard, safety out of Georgia. Third round pick, we went with Marshawn Lloyd, running back out of UFC. Another third round pick, Tyron Hopper, linebacker, Missouri. Fourth round pick was Evan Williams, safety out of Oregon. Fifth round pick, Jacob Monk, center out of Duke. Another fifth round pick, Keaton Aladapo. That's how I'll say it. Yep. Safety out of Oregon State. And then sixth round, we went with another tackle, Travis Glover out of Georgia State. Then in the seventh round, we went Michael Pratt, QB Tulane, and then Kalen King, cornerback out of Penn State, where the men are men and the boys are scared.
Yeah, and so from what I heard, that corner out of Penn State was like probably a top two rounds guy after last year, and then he had a bad year this year.
Yeah.
And so to get him with like three picks left is pretty good if he can even like sniff the team.
Yeah, and I think our boy Bass was kind of talking about it a little bit. I think I seen maybe a reel or something from him, actually, that was saying the way he dropped in the draft process. So I don't even think it was like from year to year. I think like at the beginning of the draft process, he looked like he was going to be like,
oh, really?
I think even like first, second, third. We'll say second, third, but something like that. Like he was going to be
interesting
up there, and then the draft process took place and he just dropped like a brick off the Empire State Building.
Yeah, so just like, and really that's the same as like getting to come in as a undrafted free agent. I think that's a good move. I think what the Packers tried to do was fill the holes that they had on the team, right? And so you wouldn't necessarily say that the safety room is a hole now that you have Xavier McKinney, but like having that second piece, I think is really good. I'm always surprised if the Packers take anyone that isn't a corner or an edge rusher, a rusher of some sort, defensive end or an edge or a tackle. Like if they don't take those two guys in the first round, those two positions, that always kind of surprised me. So the tackle in round one doesn't surprise me at all. We filled the backup running back spot, which I don't think the Packers are like completely sold on AJ Dillon. We got him on a really cheap deal this year. They filled that in the running back from USC. A couple of linebackers who we have to fill in due to the fact that we're moving from a 3-4 to a 4-3. So like the dynamic of the defense is different. You have to have a few more off the ball linebackers. Devondre Campbell left, and then you'll have Quay Walker and the two guys we drafted high probably playing the majority of snaps. I think that is good. And then we took a bunch of like DBs to try to fill out that room with what I think three safeties fell into that group.
Yep.
And then you take a few offensive linemen that traditionally kind of we take guys that can move all over the offensive line. I think our biggest miss was Tanner Bordellini, the guy from Wisconsin who can play center or guard pretty effectively, but we'll be just fine.
Yeah, no,
And the QB that we took did beat Caleb Williams in a bowl game this year. So
there we go.
Tulsa, USC in a New Year's Six bowl game.
He's from Tulane.
That's what I said. I actually said Tulsa, but yeah. They beat USC in the bowl game. So
that does not ring a bell to me, but
it was 2 years ago because I could have seen Caleb Williams not playing in the bowl game pretty easily.
Yeah, I think you are right. Cause I think Tulane was like in the top 16 2 years ago or something like that. I think they were like undefeated one of those years. So yeah, no, I kind of like that pick too. Like you get a quarterback that played some undefeated ball, knows how to win. I can't remember who our last quarterback was like that. I think it was Matt Flynn. I had that impression of him because I want to say Flynn won a national title.
Yeah, with LSU, the year after Jamarcus Russell.
So yeah, that was, yeah, a good draft in my opinion. But I would be hard pressed and lying to you if I said I paid attention to a snap that any of these guys have played. The only ones I could see that maybe I seen them play a snap.
So it's 2023 that he beat him in the bowl.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I might have seen Edrin Cooper play a snap, but won't remember. Javon Bullard, maybe. Marshall. So I guess, yeah, just the guys who went to big schools that maybe
the Arizona guy, though, like I probably never saw him play a snap.
Yeah.
I don't know. I watched an Arizona game ever in my life, just unless they're playing the Badgers.
Yeah. Right? So. Yeah. So yeah. I think we did a good job of like just probably not reaching and like trying to get anything like too sexy and just filling up the rooms that we needed filled up. And it looks like, you know, if you draft three safeties, hopefully we get one. Cause you know, we've been waiting to have like a pretty decent safety for a little while now.
Yeah. I think we probably had somebody who was like sufficient after, Collins, but it hasn't been for like a number of years. Like they haven't done it over in the course of like a long period of time.
Yeah, I can't remember any of our safeties not since Nick Collins not getting shit on like all the time on Twitter. But I do think that that's a Twitter thing. And I think safety is a position where it looks like your fault a lot more than it is your fault a lot of times, because you're kind of like the last guy out there. Like, where if you're like guy blows past a corner and the safety wasn't supposed to be helping that side, but the safety's the closest to him when he catches the ball, you're like, oh, he got killed or something like that. Yeah. So, but yeah, I like it. I think the Packers, I mean, were pretty damn good. Almost looked like they could run the table this year. So as long as you keep that core and add what we got here, good to go.
Speaking of running the table, and maybe this is like an edited meme, but James Jones is now probably my favorite offensive Packer of all time. And it's more due to like, I think every year he marks every Packers game is a win.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's down. He's a rider. Yeah,
and so like drum. That is like me to a T. So I love that. But
James Jones is one of those players that needs to be always accepted back with open arms. And I do think that Packers fans do love him like that, especially after the hoodie game. And I want to say he bounced around the NFL a little bit, and then
ended up at the Raiders.
Okay, so Raiders and then back to the Packers. And came up clutch for us when he did come back. So that was pretty sweet. That's what we got for the Packers draft there, unless you got anything you want to expand on, Mike.
Like you said, I think we filled holes well. So,
all right. Now we'll go into the depressing Wisconsin sports news. Bucks lose to the Pacers in six. Giannis didn't play the whole time. Dame was hurt for two games in that. And then Chris Middleton was playing hurt the whole time. So it was like the most
hurt. And he was balling. Like Chris Middleton played really well.
Yeah. Chris Middleton was great during the series. I want to say, game three put us into double overtime, hitting just two crazy shots to get us in there. And then the offensive rebounding by the Pacers, I guess, I don't know if you want to say the offensive rebounding was good by the Pacers, but I think it was more so that the defensive rebounding by the Bucks in, what game did I say that was? Game three was just atrocious, because the Bucks, like, in looking back on it, hindsight 2020, I mean, they definitely needed to steal that game, because they were down early in that game. And it was just a game. They came back. Middleton hits that big shot. And then, I don't know, the Pacers just seem like the better team throughout this whole series. But it also because Giannis is hurt. I think Giannis plays in this series. I think the Bucks win this in 5 or 6. Like, no doubt, no problem.
Well, I mean, so even if he's not the best player in the league, you're taking a top five player off the team in the league, not a top five player on the team. You're taking a top five player in the league off of a team. Like, I can't really blame the Bucks for not winning this series, right? Like, I'm not surprised they didn't win the series if Giannis doesn't play. I think the Pacers are okay, right? And it's tough, especially when not only are your top player, not only is your top player out, but you have what, a game and a half where your second best player misses in Dame, or maybe.
Yeah, no, I think it was like 2 full games because, yeah, I'm pretty sure he was out game 4 when they got stomped 126 to 113. And then he was out game 5. Where Bobby Portis, Chris Middleton, and Pat Beverly, just all three of them stepped up to have a good game in Milwaukee and just crushed it. Yeah. Which gave me a little bit of faith. Dame comes back for game 6, and the Pacers defense was just so much better than the Bucks defense. Where if you were watching it, like, every time the Bucks had to score, I mean, this was like all series long, it felt like. It was, the Bucks were like fighting, clawing for it. Pacers were picking us up full court, damn near, like, all these games. So, like, there was no time for the Bucks to rest. And then the Pacers, being a young, energetic team, plays to their favor. Like, where the Bucks, being a little bit older of a team, you know, get worn out in that. But then you throw Giannis into this, and then our defense might quite possibly be better than their defense. We're not only losing Giannis's scoring ability, but having to rely on, I feel like Giannis makes Brooke Lopez
better
defense, way better. Right. And they were getting so many easy, like, I don't know if it would be a pick and roll or something, but just like lob it over one of our big guys down low, whether it be Bobby or Lopez. Right. And then they would just get like an easy, like, slam. And it was crazy how many easy points that they got and how hard they made the Bucks work for everything that the Bucks got. So, Pacers were the better team. Being a Bucks fan, you know, we can't really complain about injuries too much, letting us stretch into it, because the year we won the championship, the Nets were hurt pretty bad, where Durant was basically the only one. But that's the NBA for you. But it sucks. Like, that's one thing I would say is the worst part about the NBA is one player can do so much, which I guess that's a nice thing, but you can play an 84-game season, guy gets hurt last game of the season, and then you're fucked, and you have to wait around till next year. Yeah. So I've been a little too scared to dig too deep into news, like, with what the Bucks front office is thinking about doing or what Giannis is thinking about doing. I know we just signed him to an extension and things like that, but maybe you've heard more than I have.
I've heard that the big three shouldn't be back. Like, everybody's under contract for next year. So,
okay. So, yeah.
So Chris, and Damon, Giannis should all be back.
And I think they're going to have a good shot to do it again. So it's just going to be about keeping those three healthy.
Yep.
But they are getting old, man. Not so much Giannis, but I think Giannis is going to be 29. So, I mean, maybe he's getting to the point where, I don't know, he hasn't declined since he's been on the team yet. He's gotten better every single season. So
yeah.
I don't think that that's going to change. Dame definitely went down a peg coming over the Bucks, and I think
it sounds like Dame has a lot of personal shit going on, and then the move on top of that. But like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a big part of it. And when we had K9 Kyle on, he kind of said that, like a lot of the family stuff, going through a divorce. I probably shouldn't say that because I don't even know that for sure, but.
Right.
Family issues or something like that. But yeah, I kind of forgot where I was going. Brooke,
Yeah, you don't want to dig into it because you don't want to see it dismantled, is what kind of what you were getting at, I think. And then
yeah. But I was gonna say some other player, but yeah, Chris. Oh yeah. My big thing in this series, with player that I've seen go from like someone I was like had a lot of faith in to like what happened, like Pat Connaughton kind of stinks, and he must be good at like everything but scoring, but because they trust him to be on the court a fair amount, but it seemed like every time we needed Pat to hit a big shot, it was just a brick. And I guess those are the things that we're going to have to address, is like, we need role players that can step up. I think Bobby's great. I know he catches some shit, but like, he puts on games like where he, in the regular season, he was putting up games like where he had 30 points. Game we won in game five, he had 29 points. I think Chris can still do it. So I don't think you need to move on from that. And like you said, he's still under contract, but I'm just rambling now. But we definitely do need to find guys who fit the bill just a little bit better and can come up a little bit more clutch in playoff times. But that all being said, Giannis goes down, we're going to be hard-pressed to win a series in the NBA playoffs, no matter who we're matched up against.
So I think like the weirdest thing to me about the NBA is like outside of the top eight guys on every team, there's no players that ever like step up and make true real impacts.
Yeah. We say that.
I find that weird. I find it really weird.
But the Pacers had it going on with that last night. I don't know how I can't remember his name, because he's going to haunt my dreams here forever. What the heck? I got something going on in my ear right now. All right. It's done. But who was the guy who put up like 21 points last night? So they had Obi Toppin go off for 21 and then TJ McConnell.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's probably the eighth guy on their bench, or not eighth guy on their bench, but like eighth guy in their rotation.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like in the NFL, like it feels like these like weird low roster spot guys come in and make a huge impact throughout a season. And you just don't see that very often with the NBA.
Yeah. Well, if you've only been watching the Bucks play this year, that is 100% true.
Yeah.
Cause looking at it just real quick. So we had 1 point in the first half from our bench.
I saw a tweet about that somewhere. I don't know if it was the first half or how long that stretch was, but, and then I think I was looking and it was like three or four in the late third.
Yeah. So we ended up getting 10 points from our bench. And I want to say maybe five of those came in the last 3 minutes when the game, like when we already had punted the game. Yeah. And the Pacers had 41 points from Obi Toppin and TJ McConnell. So
yeah, who are non-starters. Okay.
Yeah. So all right. Whatever. We'll have to regroup, get them again next year. So we'll see how this goes. But disappointing end to the Bucks season. You got anything to expand on there?
Nope. I agree. Disappointing end.
All right. Then we get some good news again, Mike. You wanna tell them what's been going on with the Brewers since April 16th?
Well, so since April 16th, we're 10-6. And that's kind of where I'm at. It's good and bad news. Like, we're still winning games, doing just fine, right? I think our biggest issue is we have a lot of injuries around the starting pitching. Wade Miley needs Tommy John, I believe.
Yes.
And I'm sure Pat can expand a little bit on like the ins and outs of the, like where our pitching staff is at, but pitching staff is not in good shape. The guy that was supposed to be my favorite relief pitcher of all time, because he likes the song Cowboy by Kid Rock, got sent back to AAA. They got in a big fight with the Rays, I think. Yeah, the Brewers are fighters. They like to fight people, which is good. I like its scrappiness. But 10-6, kind of rolling, and got hosed out of a couple like calls at the very least, if not wins.
Yeah, no, it's been entertaining baseball. Great stuff going on. Beating Craig Counsell today. That was,
well, yeah, I didn't even like think of that, I guess, but
such a nice move. So Brewers beat the Cubs 3-1 today. And it was awesome because it was the most like Craig Counsell overmanaging situation that happened. So I'll be hard pressed to remember all the names of what was going on, but Craig Counsell changes the pitcher, as he does, because we pinch hit Jackson Chirio, and Chirio gets a hit, steals second, then William Contreras gets a hit, as he's done. I'm curious if he's going to be up in the MVP conversation. So he's hitting
last time we were on the podcast, he was right there.
Yeah. I think he's hitting 341, five homers, 26 RBIs, and just coming up clutch for us left and right. And he did it last year as well. But so he gets a hit, ties the game at one. He steals second. And then I think it's Tyler Black. I can't remember who exactly hit him in. But anyways, we got three singles, three stolen bases, three hits, or maybe two hits, whatever, to get three runs. And just so beautiful, just stealing a game like that. Because that, we were scoreless until the eighth inning, and then that happens in the eighth inning, and then we shut the door on them. I'd be lying if I was saying I'm staying up for all these late games, but this series with the Cubs is going to be great because it looks like every game's at 220. So it's just been perfect. So over the last seven games, Chirio's hitting 333, crushing it. William Contreras cooled off a little bit with the exception of today. But Willie Adames has been smoking dingers, hit two homers in one game against the Rays. But yeah, it's just been a fun team. But like you said, we definitely do have some depth issues in the pitching staff for sure, where it does look like we are going to need to bring in a pitcher. So Freddie Peralta is still going strong. Colin Ray is still going strong. Jacob Junis is on the IL. Dale Hall is on the IL. Like you said, Wade Miley out for the season. As everybody knows, Woodruff was going to be out for the season, the whole season. And then in our fifth spot, Joe Ross. He's not hurt, but yeah.
He's not good. So,
Yeah. So, I mean, Freddie Peralta is, you know, a fringe number one guy. It's starting to look more and more like a number one guy. But, obviously, if Woodruff comes back, he's number two. And I don't even think that's 1A, 1B. That's one. And Freddie Peralta's two. We're going to definitely need to do something there. Abner Uribe, still a stud. I can't remember if he got a 6-game suspension.
Isn't he the one that got sent down to AAA?
No. I don't think so. So maybe I'm dumb. Maybe he did. If he did, I think it's definitely, I guess, 3 saves, 6-9-1. I don't know. I thought he was the one in the fight, but I'm going to stop talking so much. Also, I'm going to just sound dumber and dumber.
Too. I'll keep my mouth shut on this. I just thought that's who it was when I saw somebody got sent down. So,
oh, but our dog sent us something. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, but it is absolutely incredible. There's a guy on Twitter. I think my sister even sent me something. So he's on TikTok, but he's like, I think his handle's John Boy, but he breaks down. I don't know if he breaks down every baseball fight, but I think he's a Brewers fan, because I've only seen two, but maybe it's just because I'm a Brewers fan, where he breaks down like what the guys are actually saying. And he just does such a good job.
Nice.
And the one that happened recently where Freddie Peralta gets tossed. Which kind of seems like an insane tossing, but also not really, in my opinion. I think you'd have to be pretty blind to say like it's 100% ridiculous. You have to be like a pretty hardcore Brewers fan, because I don't think he tried to hit him with any of the first three pitches, but definitely giving it 3-0 after dude pimped a home run earlier in the game. And then he just is like, oh, I'm down 3-0 to him. Just going to smack him in the ass with this pitch. Yeah. Now that I say it out loud, it is pretty crazy that
he. Okay. So I have a statement about that. Right. I love guys that are willing to like pimp a home run, right? Like no issues at all. Got no problems. Now you're going to get hit if you do that. I think that's fine. And here's the other thing that I think should happen way more often. If you pimp a home run and then they hit you, the batter should be willing to fight and go do it. Like, I think we should treat fights more like hockey treats fights, right? Like get tossed for the game. That's fine. No worries. And then we move on. I don't think the whole team should join into a fight. Like, if you're going to go out there and you're going to do it, like, that's the way it goes. If you want to, like, I guess you can't have, like, thugs like Hockey Dogs or has in the past, right? They're not called thugs. They're called goons, right? Hockey calls them goons.
Or enforcers, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, you wouldn't have the opportunity to have that necessarily, right? Unless you have that as a pitcher. But then the batter just wouldn't fight, right?
Yeah.
I think it's fine. Like, do whatever you want as a hitter. Like, that's great. I think, like, little showboating, nice little piece of the game. Also, pitchers, intentionally being batters, don't do it in the head, and then fight each other. I think that's fine. I think more baseball fights is, like, part of the key to baseball. Like, yeah. I guess. and like, don't give him six games. Pitcher gets one start. Like, he has to miss a 5-day rotation or whatever. Relief pitchers, 2 games. I think that's
and that's pretty much what they did to Willie Peralta, because I think they gave him 5 or 6 games. So they were just giving
him. Yeah, and that's always one, just one game for the pitcher.
Yeah, one start.
But the hitter should get the same thing. One game, no big deal. Like, you went out to the mound, nobody cares. Like, let's move on with life.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, in this. Oh, no.
I was just going to say, I think throwing guys out of games for arguing balls and strike is also dumb. Get some thicker skin or get robotic umpires. Like, I don't need you fucking whining about fucking, they said bad things to me. Fuck off. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where I draw the line with that. I definitely like your hockey take. But yeah, bitching about shit all the time, I don't mind if you get thrown out. Especially if you're wrong.
It should be,
if so, you're wrong.
I think it's, is it who's... So Angel, somebody got Angel thrown Martinez. Out for a fan. A fan was bitching at the umpire.
Yeah,
I think
Aaron.
So Boone. And I think if you can't tell that they're bitching about balls and strikes on the television broadcast, you shouldn't be able to get kicked out. If I'm yelling from the dugout, like, I don't think that I should be able to get thrown out for that.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm at the plate and I turn around and I scream at the umpire, throw him out. I'm fine with that. I can understand that. But if you can't tell on the TV broadcast that I'm bitching at the umpire, I shouldn't get kicked out of any game ever.
Yeah. Speaking of fan yelling, holy shit, on the TNT broadcast of the Bucks game last night, that was like the most annoying I've ever heard a fan come through on shit. But sorry, that kind of derails it. But I agree with your point there. Is like a little bit. I can see where it like gets too much. And I do find it somewhat charming that baseball's still like that. And grown men call each other shitheads. And but yeah, yeah, like you gotta watch that John Boy breakdown, because Pat Murphy and the ump are just calling each other pieces of shit, like left and right. It's like, you think I'm a piece of shit? You're a piece of shit. No, you're a piece of shit. And it's like two grown men calling each other pieces of shit over a game. And I found that amazing. It was super funny and spot on lip reading. That guy can read some lips, like, yeah. And it's not even... like the NFL one has the bad lip readings.
Yeah,
that are awesome. Like, this is like legitimately what they're saying. And it is pure comedy. Just watching what they're actually saying. Nice. But just getting a little bit into the ball before we close this one out. Hell of a stretch. Swept St. Louis in this stretch. Split a series with Pittsburgh. Had trouble with the Yankees, and I think the Yankees being who they are this year, I can't remember their record off the top of my head, but looking it up, 21-13, they're a good team, and they kind of pushed our shit in a little bit. So that was probably the best team we've played so far, and that's really where it showed up that we're going to
need better. We did get a split, correct? We won the first game in that?
So we did win one. We had to win that one in extra innings.
Not an even split, but a split.
Oh, I get what you're saying. But yeah, we lost the series 1-2. And then just they kind of put us on a little bit of a slide. But then we ended up taking 2 of 3 from Tampa. And now we're up 1-0 on the Cubs in Chicago after a great win, great pitching performance out of the Brewers today. But yeah, that's what we got with the Brewers. We're going to try to stay bucked up on it, but be honest about it too, is we love the Brewers, but it's tough to catch.
Yep.
We are box score watchers when it comes to the Brewers quite a bit.
Especially middle of the summer, right?
Yeah.
Not even summer yet, right? So
yeah. But yeah, I think my goal was to try to watch 50 games before the end of this year, front to back. And I'm at 3
front. Oh, you got her easy. Easy peasy. No worries. We're actually 30 games in.
I actually might be more than that. I think I'm probably at like 5 with some distractions and sometimes tuning in. I count a full game as if I've seen 7 innings of it. So I can.
What are you doing tomorrow?
Probably watching the Brewers and Cubs game because it's at 2:20.
There you go.
We're gonna go to the pool for a little bit, so maybe I'll get back a little, like probably in the second inning, third inning, and then we'll watch the rest of it. Yes. And that counts as a game for me. But yeah, that's all I got for the show. Unless you got anything to add on.
I don't think I got anything. And if you're doubting the Badgers, the Bucks, the Brewers, or the Packers, you can eat our shorts. Roll them.
All them suckers that doubted the Packers can't eat my shorts. All them suckers that doubted the Packers can't eat my shorts.
Eat them.
All them suckers that doubted the Packers can't eat my shorts. Eat my shorts.